Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
I think it's a big mistake. Look, I hope everybody's realized by now, these masks make a difference. We are on the cusp of being able to fundamentally change the nature of this disease because of the way in which we're able to get vaccines in people's arms. The last thing you need is a Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine, take off your mask, forget it. It still matters.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On the Valley's Power Talk.
Herd immunity, which really is a veil of protection against the community, where the level of virus is so low, it's not a threat at all, then at that point you could start thinking in terms of not having to have uniform wearing of masks. But we're certainly not near there yet. When do I think that would occur? It is conceivable that you might be able to pull back a bit on some of the public health measures as we get into the late fall of this year.
Oh, no, that was from a few weeks ago. Now it's going to be March of next year. Who's the Neanderthal? Fauci says, I don't think we'll be back to normal by March of next year. So think about this. We're going to have, that would be three graduating classes to be affected. Three graduating classes to not be normal. Think about that. If not normal by March 2022, KISS 2021-2022 school year, bye-bye. We will have completely blown up a generation's high school experience. And we're going to pay for this in so many ways on day 351 of the 2 weeks in one day to make sure our hospitals weren't overrun. We haven't even begun to dig through the ashes because the fire is still raging. Newsom wants Californians to wear two masks, will not follow a terrible mistake being made by Texas and Florida. I quote, Governor face mask gagging Newsom will be doubling down on mask wearing. Are you ready? Ready, California? Here we go. Double masking is an effective way to improve fit and filtration. A close-fitting cloth mask can be worn on top of a surgical disposable mask to improve the seal of the mask to the face. Not one, but two. And this is March 4th. Let's just wait till April 4th. We'll be up to maybe three.
There's nothing wrong with people wearing two masks. I often myself wear two masks. Can we make a general recommendation that doesn't have scientific basis yet? No, but when the science comes along and tells us that it is better or not, then you will see a recommendation being made by the CDC.
All right, I'm going to start a new routine now. Every day until I get an answer from somebody, we're going to send emails. Governor Newsom, what science and data is being used to lock us down? Mayor Dyer of Fresno, what science and data is being used to lock us down? Fresno County Board of Supervisors, what science and data is being used to lock us down? Dr. Valra, what science and data is being used to lock us down? Fresno Unified School District Trustees, what science and data is being used to keep the kids out? On day 351 of the lockdown. Let's look at Fresno County. We have a million people in Fresno County. How many are being treated as confirmed cases, inpatient, in hospitals? Out of 1 million, 180 individuals here. That's 0.01% of our county in the hospital for COVID. Okay, how many are in ICU? Out of a million people, there are 59 individuals. Let's do the math. 0.005. We are locked down. Kids can't play sports if they do end up being you know, one of these individuals that are in intensive care, if you're 0.005%, you still stand a 99.997% chance of survival if you are 0.005. Fresno County, we have 149 licensed ICU beds. The six-county region in the valley has 312 beds. And we're not going to be back to normal from a year from now. Representative Michael Waltz, Republican of Florida, pushed back on Biden calling for calling out the red states. You know, Neanderthal thinking. Senator Josh Hawley slammed him over his Neanderthal thinking, as we've seen, urged the president to follow the science. Hawley said, what a uniter Joe Biden is. You know, this is Mr. Unity, and if you disagree with him, you're a Neanderthal. This is a guy who also called people who disagree with him Nazis. It's unbelievable. No, it's not. Democrats do this all the time.
You can put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
No, this is deplorable.
I think, I mean, hopefully in our conversation now, we could clarify that. When you ask anybody, me or the president or the director of CDC, this is not a mathematical formula where you can say, I get it, 5 plus 10 or 50. It's a question of pure estimates. There are so many things in play that could influence. And then it also depends on what you mean by normal. What does some form of normality mean?
It means going to church. It means going to school. It means going to a thrift store and walking around without two masks on. It means going across the street to get a hot dog. The last hot dog place I went to, the guy slammed the window on Agent Squires and myself. We were outside ordering at a window, and he yelled, I don't want to die, because we didn't have a mask on outside. My response to him, I don't want to die either, man. I just want a hot dog.
Well, obviously, we have very stringent public health measures in tune now. If you're going to ask, is what about getting back to a situation where you can have theaters that might be able to have below capacity?
Have you seen the movies that are out lately? They're going to be below capacity anyhow when they're open at 100% capacity. But go ahead.
At restaurants, indoor dining can be happening, but with moderately diminished capacity. That's going to be somewhere between the fall and the end of the year.
All right, fall and end of the year when we can go back to our restaurant and eat inside. If I recall a few months ago, Senator Andreas Borges asked Dr. Galli of California, where's that data about restaurants? They don't have it. If Fauci had it, California would have it, and Dr. Vora in Fresno would have it. But Dr. Vora in Fresno doesn't have it. Dr. Galli in Sacramento doesn't have it. And Dr. Face Mask Fauci in D.C. doesn't have it either. You do realize on day 351, they're making this up, right? I hope you realize they're making it up.
No, wait a minute. I really want to know when it's going to get to as close to normal that you almost don't know the difference between what it was before. Maybe you're going to still have to wear masks. That likely will be, as the president said, by the end of the year.
No, not by the end of the year. I'll go crazy.
I got some guys to beat and some cake to eat.
Christmas. But Andrea, these are all estimates, and so many things can happen.
They're all estimates, and they're all, everything he's saying is a guess and an estimate, because he has flip-flopped more than John Kerry in 2004. Flip-flop. But a flip-flop is also another word for that in the real world. It's called quit lying to us, man. He's so fake.
To modify that. And that's the reason why when you ask people like myself and others, we say likely. Because if it were a mathematical formula, I could give you a real number.
Okay, well, it's science. Why can't science give us real numbers mathematically? Quit. He's admitting that he's guessing. Do you hear him admitting that he's guessing?
But there are so many things that can happen, including one of the ones that you mentioned, namely the variants can come in.
We get COVID locked down. You get a vaccine. Take your mask off. We got variants coming in. This one's from Brazil. This one's from Spain. This one's from France. This one's from Vietnam. He'll have all these variants. And then we'll all have to lock down until Operation Warp Speed gives us more vaccinations, right?
We may be able to see a situation, unfortunately, where you have an increase or a little blip, which would interfere with that timeline. So I still hold that somewhere between the fall and the winter, we're going to wind up seeing it.
Dude, if we stay listening to this cat, we're going to be locked down forever. He doesn't want a society because everything he's talking about, we're not going to have a society to come back to.
So there are things, even if you're vaccinated, that you're not going to be able to do in society. For example, indoor dining, theaters, places where people congregate.
See, they want to get people like me going, well, if you've been vaccinated, why can't you go do that? And they go, well, that's a good idea. We'll just do a vaccination card then. See, there, the setup is happening. Here was a headline today. Florida sees fewer coronavirus cases per capita in the last 7 days than blue New York. Cuomo's a little blue in New York as well. He's not doing too well. This is something else here. And I give Fresno Unified School District Trustee Terry Sladek kudos on this because he's been talking about this for a while, about your health and affecting COVID. The risk of death from COVID is 10 times higher in countries where most of the population is overweight. In the U.S., close to three quarters of the population is either overweight or obese, according to the CDC. They found in countries where more than 50% of the population was overweight, death rate much higher, more than 100 per 100,000. Britain has the third highest COVID death rate in the world, the fourth highest obesity rate. But you take a country like Vietnam, they have one of the lowest levels of obesity in the world, and they also have the lowest COVID death rate. The CDC says being obese puts you at greater risk of dying from coronavirus. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen this, but they have. And you know what? A part of me feels a little bit like, okay, yeah, make people feel all right about, you know, it's called the body positive movement. I've seen it on a commercial for some yogurt, right? It showed some woman in her skivvies dancing around her living room who was obviously probably 100 pounds overweight. I mean, she was jiggling and jangling all over that commercial. But it's part of, and you wouldn't have seen that in the past. But this is the body positive movement. It's almost like a civil right cause. They say being obese is a civil right. They have these obese models. You know, you go, girl, comfortable at any size. And, you know, if somebody is your friend, you don't want to make them feel bad or family member about something like that. But you don't want to promote something. 4 million people a year die of diseases related to their weight. Only 60% of those people are obese. The rest are overweight, according to the CDC. You know, you go out and promote a healthy lifestyle or, you know, do a Michelle Obama, you know, against junk food in school today. A Michelle Obama would be called a fat shamer. That's what we see going on. We're going to talk to Breitbart's senior editor-at-large, Joe Pollack. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour, and the Washington football team, with no name, will now have no cheerleaders. But it will have just what football fans are demanding. Co-ed dance teams. Really, I'll pom-pom it up for you next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Vaccine equity may speed businesses reopening. What's that mean for California? Governor Newsom is saying areas with greater disparities of environmental justice, access to health care, transportation, education, and other socioeconomic factors. That's a way we're going to make real progress in advancing our cause of equity. Until that happens, I don't think we'll truly meet the moment. We'll not mark real progress to address the issue of the hardest hit communities. So, and we can't open up businesses until, as the governor said, equity, people of color, those in socioeconomic situations. He's turning this into a race issue. Just open up. Businesses open up. I tell you right now, if we all open up, there's absolutely zero they could do. All their power is gone. I don't own a business. If I did, I would open up. What else do you have to do? Sink and die? Do you want to open up, or do you want to just keep digging? Digging your grave. Just go ahead. Wake up tomorrow and shovel, or wake up tomorrow and open up. Call the show tomorrow. I'll leave the phone lines wide open all day. Hi, I'm a business and I've opened up. Here's my address. You think Mr. Miguel Open Up Schools Arias is going to come out and find your business, send out code enforcement? Probably. I wouldn't put it past him. But what else do you have to do? This is day 351. They're saying we're not back to normal until a year from now. Are you going to go another year? Open up. Newsom is saying wear two face masks. Well, Newsom, guess what happened? The petition to recall, bump, bump, bump. 1.9 million signatures have been reached in the recall. 2 weeks ago until the deadline. We need 1.5 million, but they got to be verified. When the 1.1 million signatures were in on February 20th, 670,000 of them had already been verified. So they're hoping to get 2 million, which will then, if the ones get kicked out for signatures, will have it, and this will happen. Getting very, 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 very close on this one. And I'm actually so excited that this is happening. So excited. Hey, the football team formerly known as the Washington Redskins, my habit store, a little habit store over here on Blackstone, he's got a bunch of hats, baseball, NFL, California hats, and he has the Washington Redskins one with the actual Redskin logo on the hat. And I said, you need to pull those down and put them on the counter and say collector's items, $30. You know, he's charging $8.99 for these hats. I'm like, that one has value because that's not going to be around anymore. Put $30 on it and put it right here. But you know what else they're not going to have? They don't have a name, and now they're not going to have any sis boom ba, rah, 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 no cheerleaders for the first time. The Washington, formerly known as the Redskins, were the NFL's longest-running cheerleading team, founding in 1962. Everybody thinks it was the Dallas Cowboys. No, it was the Washington no-name team. Now, it's not like they're not going to have, you know, the energy on the sidelines anymore. It's just going to be Ricky, Mike, and Ralph in their leggings dancing around with the women. Ricky, Mike, and Ralph. That was Belle Biv DeVoe. But co-ed dance teams. It's part of the rebranding effort, they said. A former Laker girl was hired to revamp the group. Well, that's going to be fierce, isn't it? They said change is difficult. This is the former Laker girl manager. But I do feel that fans will love what we bring to the table. Has the Laker girl ever been to a football game? That's what football fans are shouting out for. We want co-ed dance teams. We want co-ed. No, they're not. But the quote is, they're committed to bringing this team to a more modern level. The Washington football team will continue without a name. They said they'll be ready in 2022. Speaking of names and the council culture that's going down, Jeep, you know, Jeep boy, they spent all that money with Bruce Springsteen, that whole ad, and then took a black eye right to the face. I was so glad that Jeep got punched. I saw a Jeep Comanche. Aren't those Comanches? Yeah, the kind of more rugged looking thing on the road. And I looked at it and I just hated the brand. They normally, when you spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, you want everybody to like what you did. They upset probably more than half of America with that. Jeep's going to drop the Cherokee name from their vehicles. Can't have the name Cherokee, right? You can't have the Washington Redskins. You can't have a Jeep Cherokee. And you can't have a Jeep Grand Cherokee either. But we're calling it Grand. It doesn't matter. It's offensive. You know, the Fresno Warrior mascot name is now offensive as well. The Jeep Cherokee name, offensive as well. Last night, I watched Warring Indian Tribe documentary with the Cherokee, the Iroquois. They slaughtered and killed each other. Guys, that's a fact of anybody across the history of mankind that claims this land. I claim this land. I'm a Viking. I'm a German. I'm a Cherokee. I'm an Arapaho. They claim the land. They kill people to get the land. And if you want to go back through history and make everybody bad that has killed somebody to take over land, then everybody is guilty. Learn your history. I'm surprised actually YouTube still allows stuff like that on there, right? I mean, because, you know, those are indigenous people. Those are the Native Americans. They were never wrong. as we are led to believe. Well, I can tell you what, right now, Karl Marx is never wrong. But who is wrong? Dr. Seuss.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Can you believe as well? That's his latest article. Karl Marx, anti-Semitic writing. Yeah, that's okay. But not Dr. Seuss. He's a senior editor-at-large at Breitbart. Their in-house counsel, Joel Pollack. He's on the radio next.
The new number to talk to Trevor, 559-230-4242. That's 559-230-4242. The Trevor Carey Show. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
It's a responsible move on their part. There hadn't been an earth-shattering outcry, but they recognize the impact that these images might have on readers, especially kids, and they're trying to fix it because Dr. Seuss books should be fun for all people.
Mm-hmm. Fun for all people. Karl Marx's anti-Semitic writing is okay, but not Dr. Seuss. That's the headline of the latest article by Breitbart News senior editor-at-large and in-house counsel. Back on the show, Joel Pollack. Joel, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, every time we talk, I'm like, well, it can't get any crazier, can it? Every time we talk, it did get crazier.
It always gets crazier, and cancel culture has come to Dr. Seuss. It's kind of resonating because I think people understand that Dr. Seuss is harmless, in fact, quite helpful. Kids of all ages have enjoyed Dr. Seuss for decades. So the idea that these children's books, which are illustrated with absurd and fantastic creatures and which teach simple moral lessons and counting and reading, that these books are somehow harmful has brought the cancel culture home for a lot of people. And I think there's a huge backlash. You see the book sales of Dr. Seuss going through the roof. And I think people are starting to realize this wokeness is really getting out of control, and it's destroying our culture. It's destroying our ability to enjoy just basic things with one another.
Now, people hear this and think it's crazy. What is your opinion, Joel, on why they're doing it? A lot of people have different opinions on why they're doing it. Why do you think they're doing it?
Well, there is a general moral panic around race and racism that has been building for a while, but of course it reached its heights last summer with the Black Lives Matter movement and the riots, and you suddenly saw companies deciding that anything and everything that could possibly be construed as racist had to be canceled and eliminated. We saw Aunt Jemima taken off the labels, for example, of pancake syrup, even though the woman who originally inspired the character was a self-made African-American woman, you know, who was a figure of success and entrepreneurship and so forth. So there's just this craziness, this demonic effort to run around and just crush any vestiges of a perspective that might not be in accordance with the political tastes of today's contemporary left. And what's happened with Dr. Seuss is the same. So Dr. Seuss had some caricatures from some of his early writing in which he drew people ways that were reflective of stereotypes that were broadly held at the time, but were not considered offensive or racist. In fact, Dr. Seuss was very anti-racist, wrote a lot of books about how to avoid racism and how appearance didn't matter. If you had a star on your belly, in the book called The Sneetches, you know, it didn't matter if you had one or didn't. You know, all of these essentially non-racist lessons that come out of his book. But these early caricatures were considered problematic. And then there were also commentators who said they don't like the anti-racist message of his book because, or his books, because they don't talk about how being race neutral is not enough. That's not enough for the contemporary left. It's not enough to treat everybody equally. What you have to do now is understand that some people need to be treated specially. They have to treated in a special way because they're the victims of historic injustice, systemic racism, structural racism, power imbalances, and all of this imaginary stuff that we project onto society now. And that's what happened. So Dr. Seuss, the company that runs his publications, decided they weren't going to publish six of his early books anymore. They felt that these were not images or drawings that they wanted to associate with him anymore. And maybe he would have felt the same way. Maybe he would have said, you know, we outgrew that style of drawing, you know, a long time ago. But it also reinforced a general attack on Dr. Seuss that had been going on for quite some time on the left. And that attack had to do with the fact that Dr. Seuss believed in treating people equally. He believed in what is now a kind of old-fashioned idea of judging people by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. The left wants to judge people by the color of their skin and say that, you know, if you are a person of color, then you are a victim of systemic racism and are entitled to certain benefits and deference from those who, by virtue of their color of skin, are beneficiaries of white privilege and white supremacy. And so we're all locked back into this racial prism. And unfortunately, there's no room in that prison for Dr. Seuss.
Well, everybody's talking about racism. You brought up Karl Marx. You know, he's A-OK, I guess, you know, put up against Dr. Seuss. Enlighten us on the types of Marxist writings that are deemed A-OK.
Well, this is just the double standard. I don't think Marx should be banned. I think college students should study Marx. But it's just interesting that nobody ever says, when they're talking about the Marxist, and they're avowed self-declared Marxists who run the Black Lives Matter movement, nobody ever says to them, well, your hero, Karl Marx, had a lot of nasty things to say about people. He was racist, he was anti-Semitic, and I cited one of his essays that's assigned very often in college classes. If you go to pretty much any college campus and look at introductory texts on Marxism, students will be assigned the Communist Manifesto, and they'll be assigned an essay called On the Jewish Question. And On the Jewish Question is one of the most viciously anti-Semitic essays you'll find in any curriculum. The reason it's assigned is that Marx uses the essay to describe how granting political and religious freedom to Jews in Europe in the 19th century wasn't really liberation, because merely having political rights was not enough. You had to be liberated from economic inequality. It sounds familiar, right? That's basically what Black Lives Matter says now, that the civil rights movement wasn't enough. We have to address systemic racism. We have to address economic inequality, or equity. That's the new Biden administration term. Well, Marx said that, but in the course of doing that, he bashed Jews. I mean, he basically said horrific things about Jews and what Judaism was all about. He himself was Jewish, but he rejected his background. And so he published this essay, and it is assigned as, you know, important a philosophical grounding to understanding contemporary society and the industrialized world and so forth. I think I had it assigned to me in college something like five times in different classes. I took classes on politics and history and so forth. And we had this text assigned to us over and over again. And at no point did the professors say, look, we have to talk about the fact that this is a deeply problematic essay. It's got all this anti-Semitism in it. If anything, they said, you know, just ignore the anti-Semitism and focus on the essay. But it's very hard to ignore the anti-Semitism, especially if you're Jewish. You're reading this essay, and here's a guy just trashing Jews. And this is one of the foundational texts of Marxism. So all I'm saying is, if we're going to take Dr. Seuss down because he drew a couple of caricatures, by the way, that were completely non-discriminating in the sense that he drew caricatures of everybody. I mean, there are caricatures of Africans, there are caricatures of Chinese people, there are caricatures of Russians. I mean, it wasn't, you know, confined to one race of people. I mean, he basically just drew caricature. Maybe that's how he was trained to draw. But anyway, if we're going to take him down for that, we need to apply that standard to everybody, and not because we want to take other people down, but because we have to realize this is absurd. This is absurd. When you find texts that are problematic, when you find art that has these problems, you know, old-fashioned styles that are no longer in vogue. You deal with that by asking questions about it, by engaging with it critically, not by banning it and putting it out of sight and out of mind. I mean, the great works of literature all have things like that. I just read Homer's Iliad to my son, who really enjoyed it. You know, a bit of pandemic reading, I guess, while we're all still staying at home to some extent. You know, the Greeks and the Trojans is one of the great classics of Western civilization, the war between the Greeks and the Trojans. And, you know, it's very politically incorrect. I mean, there are discussions of slavery. There are discussions of games in which the prize is a woman who is described as beautiful to look at and well-skilled in household crafts. You know, I mean, we wouldn't compete for, you know, ownership of women anymore. But that doesn't mean that Homer's Iliad, you know, has to be canceled. It's a fantastic piece of literature, not just for historical reasons, but it explores all kinds of themes about fate and about loyalty and about purpose and courage. It's all these great moral themes. Do we reject this book, which is 620 pages long in the translation that I'm using, because it's got some things about it that are problematic? No. You just have to wrestle with those things and understand that society has changed. And it's interesting in ancient Greece, because in some of this Greek mythology, women play a very, very prominent role. So you've got the goddess Athena, who's one of the strongest warriors and routinely assists the Greeks in their battle against Troy and takes the form of a warrior fighting alongside Achilles and that sort of thing. So there are very strong women in these books, and also women who are basically treated like property. So, you know, you have to ask questions about this, but you don't just ban it. Apparently some people are banning it. Some people are trying to exclude Homer from high school curricula where people still read this kind of thing. It's just a dumbing down of society, and it doesn't prepare people to be adults. When you're an adult and you grow up, there are situations that are complicated. Nothing is cut and dry. Nothing is simple. There's very rarely situations that are all good or all bad. There's nuance in everything. And when you try to ban things that are nuanced in ways you don't like, you just fail to prepare children. You fail to prepare adults for living in a modern society where, you know, we all have to get along even though we don't like each other all the time. So this is part of the problem with wokeism. Wokeism is a kind of political totalitarianism applied to literature, and in this case, it's reaching children's literature. I mean, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know, they have an abridged version of that for babies in a baby book, in one of those baby board books. I mean, is that supposed to be some kind of racist text that we're reintroducing to kids now at an early age? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is. Joel, you shouldn't tell that story about Homer. Child Services will be coming by. They'll tell you Homer Simpson, that's okay, but you better watch out what you're reading to your boy there. You know what I see being carried out is a cultural revolution. You went back in time with Karl Marx more recently. I mean, just, you know, China in the 60s and 70s, you know, they got rid of the old. They got rid of statues and books. And we saw with Black Lives Matter attacking and city blocks, intimidating, you know, attacking people. That's what they did in China. It's what the Nazi brown shirts did. You know, kneel down and repeat our phrases. It was being played out in front of my eyes all summer long, and it almost like didn't seem real. But this is real.
Yeah, it is. And we need to push back against it. We need to mock it. We need to make fun of it, because it doesn't stand up once it's been mocked. You know, people have trouble taking it seriously once you point out how absurd it is. But, you know, it is a challenge, and it's infiltrating every part of our society, including kindergarten and preschool, where Dr. Seuss is read and where children for generations now have enjoyed his books. We really got to ask ourselves where all this is going. But in a way, this is what Barack Obama used to call a teachable moment. I mean, this is exposing, for many Americans, just how dangerous the cancel culture can be.
It can be. Well, you're talking about mocking it. Jimmy Kimmel said canceling Dr. Seuss is how Trump gets reelected.
Exactly.
And I liked your line, and it kind of hit home. You wrote in your latest article there, what began with Halloween costumes at Yale has engulfed the country. It's like we've even lost our sense of humor. Republicans are funny. Democrats, they're not too funny. They don't even want to smile anymore, it seems like. Joel Pollack, thank you, sir. We appreciate it, and keep up the great work. And appreciate it. Thanks. Driving home last night, I see a cop in a weird position on Friday. I'm like, what's going on here? Find out later, there was a road rage shooting, a gun thrown. They were looking. I'll tell you more about it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
So there are things, even if you're vaccinated, that you're not going to be able to do in society. For example, indoor dining, theaters, places where people congregate.
And if you've been vaccinated, they want you to wear the mask, because if you took your mask off, then how will we know in CVS who was vaccinated? See, they probably don't have their scan your vaccination RFID chip in your forehead or hand to get into CVS or any other restaurant or business or school or concert or church. Governor Newsom just stating today, of course, after Texas went 100% in the opposite direction on day 351 of the 2 weeks and 1 day to flatten the curve, Governor Newsom had to fight back, now telling Californians to wear two masks. I didn't know about this before I came to work today. Squires, can I borrow one of those masks in your back floorboard? All right. We got to have two on. I have to have two on to go home here. You know, with the state of Texas and the big freeze that hit there and all the talk of all the wind energy and solar that froze up, and they put so much of their game into that, and they got caught with their britches down and got frozen, and people died in the state of Texas. As many as 40 people died during that storm. You had millions without power, some for days, and frigid temperatures. If that happened in California somewhere, we had something like that, right? The person that was in charge of it would probably be elevated, probably get a raise, get a boost, name a high school in San Francisco after him or something. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas. Just the name says that you better be reliable and get electricity to Texas in the name. Their CEO, how much money do you think this cat was making a month? $73,000 a month. $876,000 a year to make sure that the electricity was reliable in Texas. Well, when the electricity was not reliable in Texas, they fired him. In California, again, they would name a high school after. So this explains last night the solo officer with his lights on that I saw at Fryant right by Woodward Park. He was like at a weird angle. It wasn't a traffic stop angle. I saw the Fresno Police SUV patrol car there, and I'm thinking almost looked like a motorcade was going to go by. Like, that's how, I guess, a few hours earlier at 2:30 in the afternoon, here's what happened right there. Road rage. Honk, honk, let me give you my opinion on your driving skills. You know, put that one in your back pocket and don't pull it out. The world is too crazy these days. And what is it about, you know, if we're in the grocery store and somebody has a cart and they move into front of us and we're like, we don't go, what's your problem? Move that. What about in the car suddenly makes us become almost borderline demonic over something, right? I mean, we lose. It's just the car. In the back when we used to be in bank lines or any kind of line, anywhere. I don't react the same way that I do when I'm in my car. Why is it so offensive in the car? You know, we all need to read the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. That book made me mad a few chapters in. I threw it against the wall and said, I don't know, it didn't set well with me. I was like, no, that small stuff's what matters. You ignore the small stuff, it turns into big stuff. Throw the book away. But on the road rage, guys, don't sweat the small stuff on the road. Here's what happened yesterday, 2:30 at Fryant and Shepherd, right there near Woodward Park. One of the drivers fired at another guy, hit his windshield. The guy that fired drove off. The guy who got his windshield shot followed him, called the police, gave information on this shooter's vehicle. The guy that shot then runs a red light, turning southbound to go eastbound on Audubon, and was hit by another vehicle. So the alleged road rage shooter was hit by another car. The road rage shooter gets out of his car, takes off running. Witnesses tell the police the guy had a gun. He ran that way. Officers set up a perimeter, found the 25-year-old suspect hiding. He was taken into custody. They didn't know where the gun was. They located it eventually behind the Sportsman's Warehouse right there on Friant Road, and there were no injuries. Suspect was charged with assault with a deadly weapon, could face more felony charges. And I would assume in the state of California, right, with COVID, you know, you'd be out that night, right? No reason to hold anybody in that would be shooting. You know, they didn't hit anybody. I don't know if equity had to be factored into it. No, I'm sure he's still in jail. It doesn't say here, but another person was in the vehicle with the suspect, and the detectives are talking to that individual. So chill out on the roadways. See, California drivers, you don't understand. You got it good. California has forward progression feeling. You go to some of these other states around America, they've never heard of forward progression driving. Keep it moving, people. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Hey, a big day tomorrow, and thank you to all our new listeners. Thank you to Agent Squires. Great job. God willing, we'll do it again tomorrow at 3. John Girardi's up next. Have yourself a great night.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.